Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic. Discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome back to the Strategic Hot Box. It's your girl, Dr. Brandi Stankovic. I'm so excited that you're here joining us today. Today's episode is going to be really fun. We're going to talk about the mental focus required for fitness modeling. And the reason I'm saying it's going to be really fun is because we have somebody coming live to us all the way from Trinidad and Tobago. So she's coming across the ocean and sharing her stories with us today. And we're going to talk about a topic that's really important to many leaders, and that's mental focus. And I think it can be applied in many different ways. So let's go ahead and get started. So what is mental focus, and why would we think that we had to cover this here on the Strategic Hot Box? And as you know, we break the podcast into three parts. And if this is your first podcast, welcome. And you'll have so many times to go back and delicious episodes to catch up on. But we break the podcast up into three parts: the learn, the love, and the kick ass. So in the learn section, we talk about a topic, we break it down, we get in, we dive in, and we you know, just get all meaty and delicious in with it. And if you are just listening to this podcast, I was doing some really weird hand, you know, signals with it. And if you're watching it, then you just know that I'm a little creepy sometimes, and it is what it is. And then in the love section, we always bring a subject matter expert on board to talk about, you know, how they're applying these topics, how they're making things happen, how they're making shit happen in the real world. And then in the kick-ass section, we'll give you some tools that you need to succeed, how you can go out there and implement these things today. So why mental focus, and why would that be so important to the world of fitness modeling? I think that what's interesting in talking about this today is I don't have the mental focus to not have that last beer at the end of the night. I don't have the mental focus to not eat cookies, right? I mean, I couldn't imagine the mental focus it would take to have such a strict diet that it follows like a pretty, you know, a regimen. It follows some sort of focused goal, but just to be in it all the way. And unfortunately, in an intellectual capacity, when we're working in business, a lot of times we don't have things that are as tangible like we do in athletics or sports. In different types of jobs. And so mental focus becomes a whole different realm where we're having to stay with our eye on the prize. But how does that play out, and how does it all kind of bring it all together? Let me give an example. My son recently did a triathlon. So he's 7 years old, and he did a triathlon at school. Now, it was a child's triathlon. Nothing too crazy, but still wildly amazing to have this little kid go through this process. And he was pretty nervous, and we aren't quite to the place in his bike riding skills where he was ready to do it without his training wheels. And he can ride without his training wheels, but to ride with other kids around and all of that was just this whole different level of nervousness for him. So we were able to get it approved for him to have the training wheels there. But then there was this nervousness of, oh, the other kids are going to be making fun of me and all this kind of stuff. And so I ended up saying to him that if anybody says anything to him about the training wheels, I want him to look him right in the eye and be like, training wheels are dope. And so I made him say it like over and over and over again, training wheels are dope. And so that way they would be the ones that are uncool if they didn't have training wheels, right? So at least he's going into it with confidence. So he went there that day, and he had to swim like 25 meters and ride a half a mile and then run a half mile. And he's 7. And so he's all pumped up enough to the point where he's like, let's get this over with already. And he goes into the swim, and he swam really hard. And riding a bike with training wheels is really, really difficult. So he actually, it's harder, I think, than riding without. And so it took him a little bit of time. So when he got off the bike, his legs were just burning. And he looks at me, he's like, oh my gosh, I'm exhausted. And I said, just look me in the eye for a second, and you can do this. You can do this. You're almost there. You know, pace yourself. I love you. You got this. And he just took off running. And then he had one lap left, and he could see everybody cheering for him. And his little brother, who, you know, is 4, is running next to him. And it just was this moment. You could just see in his face this determination. And he just ran for it. And then we get to the finish line, and he gets the medal, and he's all excited. And we're walking out, and he just bursts into tears. He like falls down the ground, like crying so hard and it was so embarrassing. I gave him my sunglasses and I'm like, okay, just we'll get out to the car and then we'll have a chat. And when we're talking about it, he's like, I don't know why I'm so upset. I have no idea why I'm so upset. I'm like, because when we go through a moment like that, you're not just using your body, because clearly his body was tired, but you're using your mind and your soul and your heart. There's so much more that goes into driving yourself to a goal like that than just your body. And that's what mental focus really is. If you're going to complete a goal, if you're going to make shit happen, and that means take it to the next level, take yourself further than you've ever been, take yourself beyond where you think that you can even go, and really dig deep, it pushes you places that you've never been. It makes you feel emotions that you've never felt. And I was so thankful for him to have this outpour of emotion so he could embrace that. And I could tell him it was okay to feel that way. And then for me to tell him to suck it up and it's time to go home and we'll, you know, live it together. But that's amazing to me, because I think that achieving goals like that really is so much more than just our body or so much more than just our mind. So in thinking about mental focus in fitness modeling, I was thinking about what does it take really to get to that place, and how does that apply to leadership? And some of the things that I was thinking about in any fitness that I've done, and certainly have never been down the path of fitness anything, but really fitness modeling. But there's so much about planning ahead that's required, and I think that's really applicable to leadership. So whether it's meal prep, and we're going to learn from Janelle when we talked to her in Trinidad, but there's scheduling that's required. So when I was going through my doctorate, I had to schedule time to study. Or for those of you that are going back to school or doing anything like that, you have to schedule ahead. And for in fitness or any sort of athleticism, there's meal prep and scheduling time for practice. And another important piece is that there's no off season. And one of the things in work and in business and in fitness, there's no time where you can just sit back and be like, yeah, so for the next, you know, 6 months, I'm just not going to do this anymore. You can't do that. If you're going to achieve something and you're serious about it, you can't take the next 6 months off. That's why it drives me crazy when I hear kids say, I'm just going to take a year off from life. You know, don't take a year off from life. You need to stick with it and focus and not have an off season, because you can't be great sometimes. You have to be focused on your goal all the time. And even if every energy that you have, obviously you have priorities and a way to balance all of that, but there isn't a time where you can just sit back and allow life to pass you by. You also have to be willing to make sacrifices. And I think that I think about life, and I always hear people talk about life balance, and we've talked about that in previous episodes, but life balance isn't about letting, you know, having a work life, off life, all these different types of lives. It really is about balancing between what you're going to give your focus. And if you're serious about, say, fitness modeling, or you're serious about your intellectual leadership growth, then what are you giving to that in every moment? And are you willing to make sacrifices in other areas in order for it to be great? And can you be 100% in every area? You know, I don't know, but you have to determine what 100% looks like for you. And I think, and I think about it from a mommy perspective, and we've talked about it in our Wonder Women episodes, and me being the best that I can be on the job and working is being the best mom. And so in the case of fitness modeling, you know, being willing to make sacrifices. So like maybe you don't get to enjoy the cake, you don't get to enjoy some of these other things, but that is making you the best fitness model or the best leader that you can be, or wherever it is that you're going after. And it really is that eye on the prize and staying focused and limiting the distractions, limiting the noise that can take over in our own heads, as well as the things that are happening around us. The final thing that I want to talk about, and we're bringing Janelle on to really give us a scoop on what it took to be where she is today, and that is thinking long term. It is about gradual opportunities. So often, and gradual steps towards growth. So often I have set a goal at the beginning of the year, a New Year's resolution for weight loss or fitness, and, you know, gone to the gym once and been like, all right, muscles, and nothing, right? Or been like, step on the scale, like, come on, 10 pounds that I wanted to lose, and then nothing. And it's all just a gradual gain and, you know, gradual loss or gradual gain of muscle or any of those kind of things, that it really does take a commitment for the long term. And the same is true in any sort of leadership path or growth in education or knowledge, that it's not just a one and done. This is a commitment to a lifestyle. This is a commitment to a long term approach to a goal, a long-term focus. And that's what mental focus really is. It's not mental focus for 10 minutes in the morning. It's mental focus for a long-term eye on the prize and a lifestyle change. So I think without further ado, I'll bring somebody on that can really give us a scoop on what it takes. Her name is Janelle Shalier Smart, and I hope that I'm pronunciating that correctly, and she'll correct us here very soon. And she placed third in 2013 in Barbados at the Darcy Beckles bodybuilding competition, but in 2014 she came back and she got first place in Trinidad and Tobago's National Juniors Bodybuilding Championship. She's a vice president at Copos Credit Union. In 2012 she was a Caribbean DE certification, so shout out to all of our DEs. She's a Y Cup winner in 2016. She's got her bachelor's in education from the University of Trinidad and Tobago, master's in education from Farmington State University, and then she's also working on a master's in philosophy and sociology and hopefully going towards a PhD as well. So please join me in welcoming Janelle. Hello. So please pronounce your name for us in all its glory. Would you please?
It's Janelle Shalier Smart.
Shalier. That sounds so much Shalier. Sexier when you say it. How are you? It's good to see you.
I am good. Good to see you too. How have I been keeping?
Very, very good. I'm so excited that you could be here with us. So tell us about your journey in fitness.
I started in 2012. I spoke with Lawrence Marshall in March of that year. Mm-hmm. And in August of 2012, 12th of August to be precise, I got a major flood in my house. And I was supposed to start the 28th of August. And I still started 20th of August. But what was a bit overwhelming for me is because is that after coming from about 16 days of a flood, I made up my mind on the 28th of August, I'm going to start to train and get ready to compete in 2013. And I did. My trainer told me I could take a couple of months off before I start, you know, because the tragedy of losing some stuff in my home with the major flood in 2012 in Trinidad and Tobago, Martin, he said, take some time off, get yourself. And I said, no, what? No, I made up my mind. 28th of August, 2012, was my first training day, and I started with him.
Great.
So my first competition was in 2013. That's Darcy Beckles in Barbados, where I placed third. Thereafter, 2012, as you mentioned, I put palm to part in Trinidad and Tobago National Juniors, and I placed first at that point. So it was really, you know, really a journey for me from 2012 to present. I stopped competing in 2014, thereabouts, and I made up my mind, my whole goal now is to work alongside my trainer, assist other athletes, and continue to maintain my body. That has been my mantra.
What does it take to be an elite athlete then? What did it take to get to win first place?
Discipline, planning, and remaining very focused on the end goal. For me, my diet was on point and I stuck to my diet. Even when I had to travel to credit union things in the Caribbean, it did not affect me. I would plan my meals, go to the grocery as soon as I came out of the airport once it's daytime, and get to the nearest grocery and purchase all my things. Stick to my diet, no matter what, stick to the diet. And if there is an opportunity that presents itself where I have to go off course, I would try to make contact with my trainer for him to help mitigate not having to be too far away from my diet that would have been planned. Mm-hmm. But planning, that mental focus is maximum, and discipline, that whole aspect of discipline, definitely. And that has helped me a great way outside of just my health and preparing for competition. Has helped me my personal and professional life as well.
How do you help other athletes then? I mean, do you slap cookies out of their face? Do you just walk around just like karate chopping?
Strange silence. When it comes to competition, before competition, I don't have an off season when it comes to competition time. There's never an off season.
Yeah.
So pre-season, pre-contest time, you would see persons, they would see you, but I'm always covered up. So I'm always in long sleeve clothes, like a Muslim more or less, because when you're ready for competition, no one can see what you look like before competition. Very little conversation. My trainer would say this, you have to keep, you know, your strategy as close to your heart as possible. It's a very little composition. The night of competition, we don't really have much composition either, but after competition, okay, we are all friends. Back to track, you know, because after competition, but very little communication prior to competition time. So that's how it goes, preparing for competition with other athletes. Now, if someone asks me for advice and they really need it, no problem. I mean, you share, because my background is coming from a cooperative setting. So cooperation or cooperative is their background. So there's a challenge always between trying to cooperate in my bodybuilding life, because I'm the background from the cooperative sector, you sure. know, the corporate. So that was a challenge at some point in time. But, you know, I offer help when I need to, but it's not something I volunteer in terms of that. Right. My volunteerism is wholeheartedly carried through the movement.
So do you have to have that discipline in the gym as well as with nutrition?
Yes. When I compete, I wear long sleeve attire. Right, and always, I always reach on time, and if something happens, I will contact my trainer before time. When training takes place, there's little conversation with yourself and anyone else besides the trainer. Cell phones is an absolute no-no, no cell phone while training. Got to stay focused on the weights and the technique, that is of paramount importance. There's nothing like you change your technique during training or you cheat on a rep during training, no. If the trainer gives me 20 reps and four sets, that is it. 20 reps, four sets. Nothing is altered, nothing is compromised. Strict, it's strict. The training is always strict. Intensity is always high. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
And because really, the only person you're cheating in those moments would be you, right? I mean.
Correct, yes.
And were you born with that discipline, or did you grow it as you were in this process?
I was socialized with it, I would say, from small, from my mom. And my brothers and they, my dad, yeah, I was socialized. But it became much more meaningful to me when I started to be involved in the credit union movement and then into fitness.
So what philosophy or outlook do you live by now in training other athletes and helping others in this area?
In terms of my philosophy is that you cannot give of your best if you are not at your best as a person, so that you have, your health is like your everything. Taking care of oneself is of paramount importance prior to taking care of others. So, you know, there's no compromise for me when it comes to taking care of myself, because I've found over time that when I neglect, before starting to do fitness, when I neglect my health or miss meals or eat junk, my ability to work and push myself is always impeded by the fact that I don't have energy. So my philosophy is that taking care of oneself gives an added advantage to take care of others in whatever capacity, whatever forum, whatever social, professional, and personal.
I love that. So you cannot give others your best if you aren't giving yourself your best.
Correct.
That's amazing. And what was an unexpected learning during your journey?
Yes, one of the things that happened during training, while training, I got a pinched nerve there in the lower back of my spine there. There was some technique I probably did slightly off in terms of the machine wasn't calibrated properly, something like that. And I got a pinch, and that's about 4 weeks before competition. And I was rushed to hospital, and the doctors panicked. And the guy came in a wheelchair because I couldn't stand up. Wow. So I was rushed to the hospital. I came in the wheelchair. And that's before the National Junior Championship when I came first. And I knew in my bone I would have placed in the first three. So just before that when that injury took place, they rushed me to the hospital. And they took me inside. Casualty, they put me on drips. And when they put me on drips, my boy started to feel different. And my trainer, he screamed literally because drips tend to make your body fall out, you know.
So
I start to feel, or my body start to change. I was like, okay, so the drips was having a negative reaction in my body. So my lean body that I would have worked for months, in a matter of just about 25 minutes, it changed. my face would fill out, my body sort of fill out, and that was,
I cried
endlessly, because it's like we didn't plan for that at all.
Sure.
The purpose of coming to the hospital was just for them to give me some of the pain kind of and back out, but they put me on trips. Yeah.
Wow.
And then the doctor's like, but I didn't know she was an athlete. And they're like, no, but actually I was like, but I told you she has competition in 4 weeks' time, so what do you think she would have been? And of course you have to ask, she's an athlete. So they stopped taking off the drips quickly. Yeah. Right. But by that time it made a whole change for me, Brandy, because I had to diet even more because I had to cut back on the water, because my drips is right. Like it's a fluid, like and whatever. Uh-huh. So it made my muscle fall out. I look relatively fat, like a big tomato. Uh-huh. So when I came, started back training about 2-3 days after, I had to cut back on my water intake, and I cut back on my carbs to get my body to get back lean as I would have been before the injury.
Wow, and that's such a good lesson. For those that are listening, if there's any changes in the audio that you're hearing, it's because we are coming to you live from Trinidad and Tobago. So just know that Janelle, thank you for being here with us live right now from a completely different country. So that's very, very cool. But one of the things that she was just sharing is that there was an emergency that happened right before a competition. She was rushed to the hospital and was filled with fluids. And being a fitness model, it's important to be lean. And now that's completely been changed right before this competition. And how scary to have that happen. And that can be applied to so many people, that here's something that you weren't expecting, you cannot control. And you know what? The focus that you had to say, come back and go, you know what? I'm going to take control. I'm going to change my diet. And I'm just going to do what I got to do to make it happen afterwards. That's amazing. So can you, is there any kind of final stories or funny story that's happened to you along the way?
Okay, so that particular competition which actually came first was hilarious. So I had the injury before the competition. So when I got there, we wear shoes, you know, we wear shoes, then mm-hmm. we wear bath suits, you know. So I got there and I had an orange top piece and a green bottom piece. Uh-huh. Because I mixed up my bath suit packing to leave home.
Oh, no.
You know, because I was very nervous because I knew my body before the injury would have been on point. So in my mind, I was like, oh my gosh, I wonder if I was going to have the body enough to pull through. So in rushing the park, my mind is somewhere else, and my trainer, he's excellent, Lawrence Marshall is excellent. He really supported me, told me, Janelle, when I got down there, I took up my bath suit. I was like, oh my gosh, I have orange and green, wrong bath suit. I said, don't worry, I'm going to call someone home and to bring the other part of the bath suit down. I forgot my shoes. You know, everything.
You had an orange top and green bottoms or something to that effect?
Oh. Yes. So everything that could have gone wrong for that competition went wrong for the competition. But you know what I said?
Huh.
I've worked really hard for that day, and I must get on that stage. If I had to go on that stage with a newspaper wrapped, I need to get on that stage. And just like your experience with your son, when I got on that stage, I performed at my best. I modeled my body. I did the best pose routine ever.
Yes.
Because I said to myself, I have to do this.
Right.
And when I finished, I came off, I cried. I cried so much backstage.
Aww.
Because it was my all. Like, I had nothing left. It was my all, my best pose, my best walk. You know, everything was my best.
Oh, that's amazing. And very similar to the story I was telling about my son. So give us a final action item or takeaway for all of the listeners.
You know, fitness is not just on diet, and that word diet is also a lifestyle, you know, because there's so many inherent illnesses, some hereditary, some unexpected, that kind of thing. So we have to really take care of our bodies. Once you're able to do that, I mean, it just helps me become the person I am today and where I've reached in terms of my career as vice president. I'm the youngest vice president of my credit union ever. And I would say because of the discipline I have, of working hard, pursuing, staying focused on my goals, you know, academic-wise and everything. I'm a teacher as well, so I'm very focus-driven, very performance-oriented. So having that focus, it comes from me being focused with my diet. It transcends into every other aspect of my personal life.
It's a lifestyle. I love that. Thank you so much, Janelle. It was great to see you, and I hope to see you very soon.
Yes, Singapore next year.
Bye. Cheers. Let's head out to our shout-out.
Hello, we are here in Vienna attending a conference
Thank you to my friends from Brazil for sending a shout out for the Strategic Hot Box. I love their energy and smiles. And thank you again to Janelle. And I love to hear her stories and wish so much that the audio and video would come back through even more perfectly. But I'm sure all of us that were listening were listening intently for all of the delicious little nuggets that she was providing to us because she has tremendous experience in this arena. So thank you again to Janelle for being here and sharing her story. So now it's my favorite time, your favorite time. It's time to kick some ass. Number one is to rise and grind. She mentioned it in the fact that it's a lifestyle, just talking about the fact that we have to go for it. I've talked about it in previous episodes. It doesn't matter if you're in leadership. It doesn't matter if you're in athletics. It doesn't matter where you focus your life. Get up and make it happen. It's time to rise and grind. So get up and go after the things that you want to do. Keep that eye on the prize. Number two is train year-round. The off season, we chatted about that. You can't just sit back. You have to be able to go around the clock all the time, focusing on the goals, keeping things moving forward, and training all the time. And it doesn't matter when and where and how and where you're at. I loved her example of when she was traveling for work and traveling all over, that the first thing she did when she got off the plane is go secure diet or go to a grocery store and make sure that she can make those things happen. And having that be in the forefront of her mind. And so there was no excuses. And then when in fact that she was in a place where that she didn't have that option, she hedged for that with her trainer and looked at it as just saying, hey, I know this is going to happen and what am I going to do about it? And so really just that training year round. Number three is incorporating it into daily life. I think that sometimes we'll set a goal and have it be that's a work goal. Or that's a education goal. Well, I think it's all the same and we have to be willing to do that all in the same realm. And that I know for sure when I think about fitness goals, when I think about diet goals or anything, and then I go on the road for work, or when I think about education goals and I'm out, on the road traveling, and those have to happen when I'm on the road too, because that's life as well. And so we have to incorporate it into things that we do every single day. And how can we make some of those goals happen when we are doing our day-to-day lives? And how can we live and breathe that in what we do every single day with what we're feeding and doing with our children, both in knowledge and in foods, and what we're giving to the people around us at our offices? And are we just living that philosophy, incorporating that into every single day? Number four is thinking long term, gradual steps, thinking about the end result, knowing what's going to happen in the end. The example that Janelle gave of being put into the hospital or having it occur, and where she gets filled with fluid when she's trying to do the exact opposite of leaning out before a competition, is she gets out and just says, okay, now I've got to double down and get rid of the fluids, and just looked at it saying, okay, now's the time. And really just knowing what her end result was and thinking about that the entire time was so powerful. She also talked about the very beginning of her message about the fact that someone told her to take a moment off and just to let it go. And she's like, no, I know what my end result is. I'm thinking about the long term and I'm going to start today. And that's pretty powerful. And number five is to give yourself a break in it. And what I mean by that is not to lay off and have an off season, is to not make it a moment of stress for you, that to just one day at a time, go after it every single day, and not to have it be such a stress that it ends up becoming something that you don't do. So often I'll see people give up on goals because one little thing happens, or they messed up their diet today, so just might as well give up on the diet. Well, no, give yourself relax into it, calm into it. It's a long-term thing. If I stand on the scale and it's not where I want it to be today, then we have tomorrow, and it's a focus on going forward into the future. And so relax into it, but don't give yourself a break like allowing an off season. I want you to get out there and kick some ass. That's your top five. So thank you again to Janelle, and thank you to all of you for listening here on the Strategic Hot Box. As always, if you have things that you want us to tackle here on the Hot Box, please send it over to our email, podcast@strategichotbox.com, or hit us up on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. We're everywhere. Check us out. Until next time, get out there and kick some ass.